Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mest 5150 welcoming you back to another Best of Season 3 for the All Things Nerd podcast. On this episode, we discuss Alien's 40th anniversary short films, Bill and Ted's 3 Greenlight, Keanu Reeves' Adventures in Bakersfield, our favorite April Fool's jokes from 2019, and the first sighting or actual photo of a black hole. If you guys are enjoying these casts, make sure that you're subscribing, make sure that you're reviewing. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking us out, and hopefully you can join us on January 3rd, Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp for the Season 4 premiere of All Things Nerd. You keep nerding on, and we'll see you in January.
Oh, come on, that's the best you can do?
Alien has its 40th anniversary this year. And in preparation, starting next Friday, to celebrate, they are actually going to be releasing on IGN.com, not a sponsor, weekly film shorts by up-and-coming creators that take place within Ridley Scott's Alien universe, just to kind of embrace the history. And I think that's really cool because not many times you get something like this. You get fan films for like Star Wars and stuff, but you don't get where the actual production companies.
The closest analogy, or the closest thing I can think of to that is the Animatrix stuff, which was nine little animated shorts, all in different styles by different writers and directors that fit within that universe. And that worked really well.
Fox describes them as from terrifying escapes to facehuggers and xenomorphs. These captivating shorts bring forth an exciting new narrative for fans while paying homage to the original.
Here's
what they're about. So I'm going to read off the six that we're getting. We're getting Alien Alone, Hope, an abandoned crew member aboard the derelict chemical hauler on Tronto, has spent a year trying to keep her ship and herself alive as both slowly fall apart. After discovering hidden cargo, she risks it all to power up the broken ship in search of human life. This is written and directed by Noah Miller.
The descriptions of all these are very much in that universe. There's a lot of like space truckers and people stranded alone. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Very uplifting.
it's the feel-good movie of the summer.
Yeah.
Alien Containment. Four survivors find themselves stranded aboard a small escape pod in deep space, trying to piece together the details around the outbreak that led to their ship's destruction. They find themselves unsure to trust whether or not one of them might be infected, which will be one of those cool stories of like, which one is the one that's got the alien in them, xenomorph in them. This one is written and directed by Chris Reading. Alien Harvest. The surviving crew of a damaged deep space harvester have minutes to reach the emergency evacuation shuttle. A motion sensor is their only navigation tool, leading them to safety, while a creature in the shadows terrorizes the crew. However, the greatest threat might have been hiding in plain sight all along. Bad android, I'm assuming.
Again.
Directed by Benjamin Haldshell. Alien Night
Shift. It's Paul Reiser again.
I love his name. Alien Night Shift. That's just the aliens working overtime.
They would have money.
Xenomorphs clocking in and out. Like, how was your day, Frank?
Like the sheepdog and the wolf.
When a missing space trucker is discovered hungover and disoriented, his coworkers suggest a nightcap as a remedy. Near closing time, they are reluctantly allowed inside the colony supply depot where the trucker's condition worsens, leaving a young supply worker alone to take matter into her own hands.
That one sounds weird.
Written and directed by Aiden Bresnik.
Yeah, that one's not Alien on IGN, it's on Pornhub.
Alien Ore. As a hardworking miner of a planet mining colony, Lorraine longs to make a better life of her daughter and grandchildren. When her shift uncovers the death of a fellow miner under mysterious circumstances, Lorraine is forced to choose between escape or defying management orders and facing her fears to fight for the safety of her family. Written and directed by the Spear Sisters.
Yeah, Brittany and Jamie Lynn, right? Now I want to see Britney Spears write and direct an alien short.
Oh my god. I want to see the last survivor just start dancing in a Catholic school uniform, you know, more
hilarious.
Oh, Alien specimen.
Crossroads crossed with alien. Awesome.
It's the night shift in Colony Greenhouse, and Julie, a botanist, does her best to contain suspicious soil samples that have triggered her sensitive lab dog. Despite her best efforts, the lab unexpectedly goes into full shutdown, and she is trapped inside. Little does she know, an alien specimen has escaped the mysterious cargo, and a game of cat and mouse ensues as the creature searches for a host. So that tells me that's a facehugger when it's saying searching for a host.
Yeah.
So she's being chased by a facehugger. And that's directed by Kelsey Taylor.
Even in the descriptions of the plots, listen to this list of protagonists. An abandoned crew member, 4 survivors, their surviving crew of a damaged deep space harvester, a missing space trucker, a hardworking miner, and, of course, a botanist. What?
A botanist.
The whole, I mean, it was, you know, the franchise was created in the 70s, but it feels like the whole universe is just 70s working class people that would definitely be having a cup of joe at a late night diner.
Turbo Comics is extremely excited, says that it's going to be sick. Ruutu says they should get Park Chan-wook to direct one. That would be cool. Mm. Speaking of awesome alien stuff, the Alien Isolation series is amazing, following Amanda Ripley. That's following the daughter. Yeah, they were talking about that new series, too.
Well, and Jack says, with this many people running into aliens, how does not everyone know about them?
I know, right?
Very few survivors.
Not everybody is Ripley and can survive. So that's how. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like the galaxy's overrun by them. It's the company, man. It's Weyland-Yutani keeping it all under wrap so that nobody knows.
I blame Michael Fassbender.
But no, I like this. I like that in celebration of 40 years, they're like, hey, let's bring up people that are unknown that to make these short films that have that upcoming potential in the writing and directing class. And potentially these little shorts could end up launching a career, especially being that a 20th Century Fox putting it on. This has to launch some careers for new directors. Mm-hmm. And I think how many are
foot in the door directing wise?
Kelsey Taylor, Spear Sisters, Aidan Besnick, Benjamin Housedale, Chris Reading, Noah Miller. We've got at least two are female directors, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
especially for horror.
Yeah. Well, suspense. I wouldn't put the original Alien into a horror category.
Suspense is better.
Classified as horror.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Turbo Comics says Neil Blomkamp needs to be given the Alien film he was working on that was in pre-production. Yes, we've talked about this many, many times. I want the two Neil Blomkamp properties, the one that he's working on right now, which is the RoboCop one. I hope it's still going. Turbo says it's definitely horror, bro. I do not consider Jaws horror at all.
I don't either. I do not consider Jaws horror at all. Thriller, but not horror.
Well, and a lot of those are considered suspense just because the pacing of movies in the 70s was so different than it is now.
Are there other franchises that when they hit those big landmarks that you'd like to see kind of follow this same suit where we get some new film creators or actors or whatever to make some shorts taking place in that universe?
Oh, dude, I think that would be awesome.
So like what?
I love the idea of it, but I've been running my brain around this all day trying to figure out most of the time when a film is considered part of a franchise, that's usually going to be a horror. And so many of those get ridiculous just with how many there's been, what, like 13 Jason movies? You know, so having somebody direct a short in that world doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Matrix, that, like I said, they already kind of did that with Revolution or with the Animatrix. I've been trying to think, like, maybe Will Ferrell movies?
You could with his characters. I mean, he...
Make a bunch of movies.
Ran around. I thought it would be funny to get some old John Hughes because he was the big 80s guy.
Yeah. So that would be interesting, yeah. But that's the thing. John Hughes knew how to write the characters right. I mean, it was really hard to achieve what John Hughes did with. That's why the characters were so impactful. That's why the stories were so. And I mean, there was even a documentary of people going to try and find John Hughes to ask him to make another movie because he had just gone into exile before he passed. Yeah. Because nobody did hit the same, you know.
Yeah. But that would be interesting. That would be something I would like to try to do spins on his characters and his world. I would love to see, if you had a recasting done, give me Rami Malek as Hannibal Lecter and give me some shorts of Hannibal Lecter in his time in the, you know, institution or previous to the institution or whatever. Give me some. I think he would be a really good Hannibal Lecter.
Like Red Dragon era?
Yeah.
Just creepy Rami Malek.
Creepy Rami Malek.
I just watched Bohemian last night. It was great.
Oh, so good. So good.
I'm just trying to think of other movie franchises. Like, I mean, Tarantino is sort of his old thing, but you can't have anybody else direct Tarantino because then it wouldn't be Tarantino.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at my DVDs and trying to think of if there's one. I mean,
I can think of some stuff from like old, like, you know, the old Gene Wilder movies.
I think, you know,
some shorts in the middle would be great.
I can think TV show wise, which became movie, I would love to see some shorts take place in the Firefly universe in Serenity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that would be cool. Absolutely. You know, other characters that aren't, you know,
finally figure out what the hell is going on with the blue hand guys.
Yeah.
Ruru2 says Girl with Dragon Tattoo series. That'd be cool.
That would actually be cool.
Yeah. Great set of movies and books.
But if he was just
see, now I want to see
Fassbender Alien movie finish the trilogy. It's coming. The finish is coming. It's going to happen.
If they hadn't been coming out with the new Ghostbusters movie, I would have liked to have seen some Ghostbusters shorts with the original cast.
Wait. Turbo Comics says that the finish to the trilogy is RIP. Did it get canceled? Ooh, Jason Bourne, Ruru2, awesome. Get us some shorts in Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm. I want to see somebody with a radically different style direct an Anchorman short, like Ron Burgundy in 40s noir.
Oh, that could be kind of fun.
But that wouldn't be doing up and comer. I mean, they're not casting any of the people that were originally in these films and stuff. It's all just taking place in that universe. It's like expanding that universe and giving us more stories.
Oh, no. I just realized where I got that idea from, and now I'm going to have to say it. I think I got the 40s noir thing because I also watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse yesterday, and Nicolas Cage plays 40s noir Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Noir, yeah. Is there a Nick Cage universe that you want
to see? Damn it.
Dude.
I believe that's called every movie ever.
Get some shorts from the B-movie.
If I had one franchise he did, and it's not even a franchise, it was one movie, but I would take his character from Gone in 60 Seconds, and I would just want to see him and Andrew.
You mean Memphis Reigns?
Memphis Reigns, before he became retired. Him and, you know.
Let us know what what movie universes you would like to see get their own shorts from up-and-coming new creators.
And, of course, because I had to say the name in the comments, Jack Malice says, kill yourself. I see.
I'd like to
see some
upcoming shorts celebrating the anniversary of Necromantic. That'd be cool. Yeah, so. First... The first story to get into to talk about is one that we have talked about many of times. We've talked about it in the factor of like what other old movies that we loved that were cult classics would we like to see get sequels and different things. And I think this is probably the upteenth time we've talked about this. But ooh, we're talking
Lost Boys with an actual undead Corey Haim.
Yeah. You brought that up in a few podcasts ago.
Right now. Damn.
Yes. Man. Rehashing jokes, I see. Good job. So what we're talking about now is that the fact that there's an actual full-on green light, it is a go. Bill and Ted 3 is happening. It was announced on a video on Instagram, Keanu Reeves and Winters.
Alex Winter.
Alex Winter in front of the Hollywood Bowl, announced that it is a go, that it is greenlit, that Bill and Ted Face the Music is coming. So,
with the original writers.
Yes. Yeah. And that's Face what. The music.
So ominous.
Well, what are, how and old hope, are they and, now?
And I hope no CGI Carlin. No CGI Carlin.
No, because what was said in the past for Carlin was that if it did happen, that it would be, you know, a touching way of him in there, but they're not going to replace him.
Maybe use his daughter.
That'd be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, some of the comments, the whole trajectory of getting the next one off the ground has been pretty much exactly like the experience of getting the original, going to every studio, and they're like, what the F is this? And this kind of independent spirit and the films have an anachronistic quality to them. That's a big part of what they are. Fundamentally, I'm really happy this one is the same. It doesn't feel like some stale knockoff that a studio would have immediately gone, oh, this feels right. We have rebranded very successfully, is one of the things that Winter said about getting this made. But yeah, they're bringing in the original writers to write it.
And, always a good start.
We had some of the, so we got the official release date. It's going to be August 21st, 2020 is when it'll come out. Orion Pictures is going to be releasing it through United Artists. And it's going to be directed by, this is kind of cool, Dean Parasot, who directed Galaxy Quest. So
that's encouraging.
Very encouraging.
Very second good start.
Yeah. So
you're lining up the bricks in the right order. Keep going.
It sounds like it. And then of course they're going to be bringing in like rock legend idols and to appear in this one and stuff. Cause this one isn't traveling through time.
Are they going to actually get Eddie Van Halen?
I would think they would. I mean, if they,
that would be rad.
As long as they don't get his son, you know, he's good on the guitar, but he's just not the same. He should
not
be
a very photogenic guy at this point.
No. But what do you guys think? I mean, is this excitement that like, hey, finally we can get some stuff that we've wanted to see come to fruition happen?
I definitely like it, and I like it because of the fact that it allows Keanu Reeves to kind of go back to starting point again, because he's done so many action films and stuff lately that, you know, I do kind of miss that lightheartedness that you see him in the movies. I mean, I mentioned this in the pre-show. They do this announcement, and yet the only thing I could see right now is John Wick. So it'll be nice to see him.
A beard. It's always gonna. He's smiling, man.
Oh he's smiling, man. In the video.
And he keeps on doing that. He keeps on doing the Ted thing with his hands, where he's like, "Yeah, you know."
Yeah. I get it, but visually though, it's John Wick right now. I mean, yeah. That's what it is, especially like after seeing the trailer.
Doing a Bill and Ted cosplay.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited because I want to see Keanu Reeves go in a more lighthearted, a fun, like, because I've always enjoyed Bill and Ted's. Even the second movie, as much as it, I still like watching Bill and Ted. It's classic. I love it.
With the John Wick thing, I want that writer somewhere towards the beginning of the movie to have Ted Logan have a puppy and it goes missing for about 30 seconds and you just see a John Wick look in his eyes.
A bearded master says in the chat room was already announced it was being done. We just have a release date-ish, August 2020. No, it was announced that they were on board to get it done. This video is where they say, hey, we've had this on again, off again, but this is the official, like, we finally got the full green light. It is happening. So that's why it was big news, because everything before was just everybody going, yeah, we want to do it. Yeah, it seems cool. Yeah, yeah. If we get the backing, we'll do it. This is them saying
we're filming this summer.
Yeah. So that's why we wanted to bring this up, because we've been following this story for so long that you know, wanted to get the big payoff on it.
I want to make sure this movie doesn't have Station, even though Jack is chanting Station in the chat.
Well, it's exciting for me because I was so young. I was only 7 when Bill and Ted 2 came out. So I saw them later in life and they were enjoyable, but I didn't get to get into that hype. Like, I didn't get to experience, you know, the releases and the cult classicness of it. And, you know, they were just movies that I saw that came makes out.
The classic of it is that if you had to watch it at a later time and
I loved it, but to be a part of it now, to get to that excitement level of, oh my God, there's a new one coming. I get to be a part of this one. You know, I get to see it all leading up instead of going and just being movies that I watched. It's super exciting. Plus, my first role for Kiana was The Replacements, which was an amazing movie. Don't Johnny get me wrong.
Johnny Utah.
So it's nice to go and get to actually see him in a release in the theater doing what made him famous.
You know what's going to be surreal about that movie is if they do bring everyone back, if they bring back Bill's mom, Missy.
Yeah. Well, because she was the stepmom for Bill. No, of. Yeah, Bill in the first one and Ted in the second one. I want to see who she's with in the third one.
Well, the nostalgia factor kicked in really big with when it first was said, even proposed, like a Bill and Ted 3. Everybody was like, oh, that'd be so awesome. And remember, this is what I think I brought up at the very beginning, was while everybody's excited about it, 2 bombed in the theaters, and everybody was after 2 was like, we don't need any more. Like, don't do any more. But now it's just that nostalgia that has grown and grown. And there's elements of 2 that are fantastic. And
I really like 2 still.
I love Death. Sure. Too, so
am I right on saying that Bill or number 2 was actually not by the same exact from the same writers as number 1? And to me, I think I remember it being forced. Because they really wanted to try to capitalize off the
studio wanted to do it. Yeah, the studio really wanted to get it done because the first one had done so well, and they didn't expect it to do as well as it did. So Polyfuse brings up, holy crap, 30 years from the first Bill and Ted.
Same exact writers. I was
5, y'all, when the first Bill and Ted came out. I was 5 and very much into He-Man and She-Ra. I did not know who Bill and Ted was.
Who remembers the Bill and Ted cartoon?
I remember it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Very vaguely.
It was on the air right around the same time as the ALF cartoon, right?
Yeah, it was like 1990-ish.
There was an ALF cartoon?
There was an ALF cartoon.
Yes.
Set on the planet Melmac. It was set on the planet Melmac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where Gordon Shumway had his own personal life. There was a Back to the Future cartoon as well.
Yep. Yes, that one did not last very long.
That one I do remember, and I remember watching an episode and going, hey, I think I have the movie over here.
Doc Brown's kids were in the cartoon as well. And
Jack has answered the question of who Missy's going to be with in the upcoming movie. Bill's mom. that's about perfect.
That would be funny. That'd be hilarious. Okay.
I think it would actually be hilarious if she actually married one of either Bill or Ted. I mean... there's no blood there, it's not Kentucky or LA.
Polyfuse makes one very clear thing, is that all he knows is the soundtrack to the new Bill and Ted movie had better be amazing. And based off of what they've figured out with soundtracks and previous movies like Guardians of the Galaxy coming out with older songs to create an epic soundtrack, I really
Boston think Mix Volume 1.
Yeah, I think that they'll come out with some just great heavy metal, old school rock like mix that'll be fantastic to have.
Yeah, the soundtrack to the first one was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I still catch myself looking it up and listening to some of it. It's great.
I still put some of that stuff on at work when we're opening up in the morning.
Chet's response.
Amazing.
Well, if the Wild Stallions make the music, it has to be epic.
Epic.
I don't think you can just say Wild Stallions just calmly. You have to say Wild Stallions!
The cool thing that came out was Keanu Reeves got stranded with other passengers because their plane wasn't working and talked the passengers into renting a van. And while renting the van, took a trip through Bakersfield. And he proceeded to be their tour guide, giving them interesting tips about Bakersfield and history of Bakersfield on their way to their destination, which just sounds like an awesome, awesome trip. I mean, not something you hear every day.
It scared me. One of the tweets that I saw was something along the lines of, like, when your plane almost crashes, but then you realize Keanu Reeves is having just as bad a day as you. I'm like, almost crashes? No, we need Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah. But I mean, what did you guys think when you saw this?
One is I never got to see what kind of plane were they on, and why was Keanu Reeves on like a passenger plane with other people? You would, I mean, I know he's a very modest guy, but I also know that he's private. Like, I just didn't think that he would be. I know he takes public transportation, right? Mm-hmm. Like the subway.
Hence the sad Keanu meme. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just didn't think that when if he rode a plane, I was thinking that he would be more private. I don't know.
Well, it sounded like they were going from L.A. to San Francisco, and they only rented a mini bus for all the people. So I'm thinking this was like a smaller plane.
Yeah, they were going reverse it. They were going San Francisco to Los Angeles, and they had to get rerouted to Bakersfield because of a mechanical issue. So rather than sit there and wait for a new plane. He basically just told the passengers, like, you know,
come on, y'all.
Our baggage will arrive later. It's cool. Let's just rent a van, you know. And he pitched the group. He did the clap. Let's hit the road.
Yeah. And we're walking and we're what? Whoa.
So it says it was, they don't know if he actually organized the van or just like told people we should get a van, you know, we should get a, like, I'd like to think not that he organized it. I'd like to see him like walking around the group and whispering in ears, like you should get a van.
Yeah. And I want to know if he didn't take everybody, how he picked the ones he was going to take.
First come, first serve.
You're the guy that got off the plane like last. You're like, where'd everybody go? Oh, they all went in a van with Keanu Reeves.
He had everybody put their name in his hat, and then he did a drawing. It's like, yeah, and you're the lucky
Ted Theodore Logan. You can't rent Ferraris for all of us. Come on, man.
It doesn't look like it was just a van. It was a minibus, so I think they were able to fit everybody. Because I don't think it was a big plane. It was probably like a two engine or a single engine plane.
Yeah,
like the dangerous ones,
20-something seater.
Yeah, so probably everybody got on to the thing. And you know, Bakersfield, how easy – I wonder how easy it was just to find the bus. Like, do they – you would think they'd have a lot of routes to Vegas, like party buses. That's the funnier thing is it's like a party bus that they did this in.
Oh, yeah.
Stripper pole, loud music.
I mean, not only did he regale them with facts of Bakersfield, but he was playing his music from his iPhone.
Dogstar? Probably. Awesome. I can't believe I pulled that one out of my head. His band was called Dogstar.
That would be amazing.
Oh, God, you got me coughing.
A sneak peek of Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah, exactly. I would be like, so we're thinking about doing this song on Bill and Ted 3. What do you guys think? You know?
So what's on your playlist right now? A lot of 80s rock, honestly.
What's on there? Wild Stallions.
It's just an awesome, awesome story to happen. Do you guys have any celebrities that you would want to get stranded from a plane with and have this kind of situation happen where they're...
Does it have to be Bakersfield?
No.
Please, no Bakersfield. I'll tell you what,
man. If I got stuck anywhere, I would want to get stuck in New York City with Willem Dafoe. That would be fun to have him as a freaking tour guide.
I was thinking Las Vegas with pre-sober Dax Shepard.
Masonic Vader jumped in the chat room to tell us that he's having fun without us. So thanks. You said pre-sober Dax Shepard?
Yeah. I want to party with Dax Shepard back in his party days.
I don't think Jack gets the concept of what we're talking about.
He says,
Penelope Cruz on a deserted island. I mean, I'm not saying no to what he's saying, but I don't think.
I like that.
Oh, now I want to go antiquing.
My childhood crush, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh God, antiquing with Tom Cruise.
Or not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks has such a generous, kind energy. I want to go through antique shops in New England with Tom Hanks. Looking for typewriters.
That's a good one.
Looking for typewriters, yep.
Now, besides the obvious of wanting to do that with like my childhood crush, like Jennifer Love Hewitt or something like that, which is still gorgeous to this day, I think.
Really?
But if I had to pick an actor, a celebrity, just because I feel that my personality would mesh well with this, just because I'm goofy as well, is Chris Pratt.
That'd be fun.
Now
he's a guy you can just hang out with. Yeah,
I'm gonna go on the complete opposite end because I think it'd be hilarious and to see people's reactions as it happens, because I think that he would just get annoyed and scream and yell at people.
Pauly Shore?
No, I was gonna say Russell Crowe. Could you imagine Russell Crowe being a door guy?
Now that's a different kind of party.
He's like, you want to fight?
Nobody messes with Tugger.
Just look out the
dirty
right.
Pugs,
look
out the right. Bars.
They're known to kick with their legs.
And he has his own band as well, doesn't he? So
he does. 30-odd foot of grunts.
Why do I making know? Movies, making music, fighting around the world.
I mean, with the people that have their own band, what would be the best person? Keanu would probably be the best person to have the situation happen with. Kevin Bacon wouldn't be bad.
Oh, you could do what is the game? The Kevin Bacon game.
The 7 degrees.
The Kevin Bacon game.
Dude, how awesome! Yeah, you get stuck on this, and you just play the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon the entire ride.
With him and all the other people on the bus.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I don't think anything could top that. Playing the Kevin Bacon game with Kevin Bacon.
I
can't believe nobody on a talk show has done that yet.
Haven't they?
You gotta wonder if maybe he has it in writing. You gotta wonder if maybe he has it in writing to not. That's not one thing that he wants to do.
Possibly.
Just because
it seems like the easy thing. Joke.
Yeah.
I was gonna avoid picking hot girl tour celebrities, but then Nick went ahead and brought up Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Gorgeous.
I think I gotta go shopping with Alicia Silverstone. I don't want to buy anything.
Ooh,
that would be awesome.
Good choice.
I just want to walk around a mall with her. And it's got to be.
She's a little, in real life, a little weird.
She recently did lip sync battle on Jimmy Fallon in the original yellow mini skirt plaid outfit.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Exactly the same.
No,
she looks I would do the mall thing with her only if she dressed up like her character from Clueless.
Yeah, that's what you said, the yellow mini skirt.
Yeah, I second that notion. I think it's awesome.
And of course, that leads me to Turk and JD from Scrubs. I think just hanging out with them at a Chili's would be fun.
I think anywhere with those Donald Faison and Zach Braff would just be fantastic. Yeah. Those two, I think it doesn't matter where you go.
I would want to have the guy that plays Perry there as well. What's his name? Michael C. Cox or something like that.
You don't want the Todd?
Todd.
Self high five.
Something bad is happening.
You got anything
maybe,
else?
Maybe even Jan Etor.
Hey, Aaron, you got any other that would be fun to hang out with?
I can think of 1,000 people that'd be fun, but no one that I really want to.
Aaron's gonna be the guy that when Keanu's sitting there going like, let's do this, let's get this, he's gonna be the one standing off in the corner going, I don't want to hang out with you. No.
I'm just gonna sit in the corner over here and smoke.
It's like, leave me alone, I'm trying to watch Speed.
We like to usually open up this cast with talking about what we've been geeking out on, but we're flipping it on its end this time. The geek out is going to be the April Fool's edition, and what we geeked out on for what happened during April Fool's being our favorite jokes or our least favorite jokes that were just terribly done. Me personally, my favorite, I was going to touch on, but I think Aaron's going to hit it, so I'm not going to that one. I'm going to talk about, I was looking up stuff for the Walking Dead podcast, and somebody got me, and they got me good, because as I was looking for news, there was a headline about Daryl going over to Fear the Walking Dead, and talking with people. I actually went and looked at it, and it's like, to get the rest of the article, like most of the websites I go to, it says click to continue the rest of the article, which took me to getting Rickrolled on YouTube. So thanks, guys, whoever did that. Fantastic.
That's funny.
So, my favorite thing of April Fool's, however, is not a sponsor, but Think Geek always comes out with some fantastic gag gifts that they try and act as are going to be real to order, but they never are. Every once in a while, one sneaks through and does become real. But this year, they had a burned bread toaster by Banksy. So it burned Banksy's graffiti onto the bread. You know, the toasters that make the designs. It was only $1,370,000 to purchase it because it's a Banksy thing. You had a Roombie, which was a Kirby Roomba, which instead of sucking it up this way, it was Kirby's mouth sucking everything off the ground. There was a Mjolnir mailbox, which I think can be made real. This needs to be. And then my favorite was a beanbag onesie. So it's a onesie with a big old butt for the beanbag so you could sit down wherever you want to.
Nice. Oh, I saw that. I saw someone wearing that on Instagram. It was like a picture of him. It was in his story, and it was like eating tacos. And then it showed a picture of him wearing the onesie, and he's like, me after the tacos. What the hell is that? Yeah.
The onesie might become real. I don't know. It all started out with ThinkGeek doing a Tauntaun sleeping bag, and so many people wanted it so much because it was like crawling into the Tauntaun. So many people wanted it so much that they actually made it, and people started buying it. So
it came with a smell, too.
Yeah, probably. Aaron, since I skipped over the story I was going to talk about, because I think you're going to hit on it, what was your favorite April Fool's prank?
I appreciate it, because literally I don't fall much for April Fool's jokes ever, but I nearly dropped a load when Maisie Williams was on, what was it, Conan?
Fallon. No, she was on Tonight Show.
Fallon.
Yeah. Both of them sold this so well. She dropped a spoiler that Arya died in season 8, episode 2 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Red Meat Pop brings up. She loved the Maisie Williams April Fool's on Fallon.
Oh, dude.
I almost cried.
She did such a good job. Like, my
looking out.
Already knew she was a good actress, but
the look of horror on her face.
The little bit of her hand, like, shaking, like, quivering. Uh-huh. I was like, man, she is nailing this. And if this is not a April Fool's joke, she did phenomenal on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad it was an April Fool's joke, because I would have rioted.
Well, yeah. They came back out and said April Fool's, but I mean, think about the people that where they copied that for YouTube and people didn't get the April Fool's part of it. And so people are just watching it.
Yeah. And losing their minds. Yeah, no.
I wholeheartedly agree. That was my favorite
for a reason.
Oh, absolutely.
So, if she doesn't make it to the end of the episode, to the end of the series, I'm
writing.
There's going to be some words.
Would it be great if it was
she dies in the first episode?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, would it be great if she died in the first or even the same episode, but they just played it off that well?
Oh. Dude. I don't know.
There's no way. Not a second, at least.
Nick, did you have something that was your favorite?
That was my favorite, because I'm such a huge Game of Thrones fan. But, I mean, I know how those the people on set, the people that take part in Game of Thrones, they lock their mouths pretty well, and they've never really revealed anything of substance. No. So I didn't buy it for 1 minute, but I did think the acting was superb. I think she did a phenomenal job of selling it.
So if you're watching the visual cast of this, you'll see that Aaron is in a very dark room. So Jack Malice says that we keep him in the bunker because he can only either have the computer on to record this or the lights. And we need subscriptions.
The more subscriptions we get and the more likes we get, the more time I get on the computer. So please, Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, I think his hamster is starting to get a little old and slow.
Super, do you have anything?
My punishment for being gone for 2 years.
I have a couple. One, which is, to me, hilarious, but it was so obviously a joke that it was bad. But the wank that it created in the Supernatural fandom was hilarious to watch. So it made me laugh in that regard, which was as they were leaving Vegas, Misha Collins and Richard Speight Jr. were on the same flight heading to Burbank, So they took a picture of the two of them and said, oh, just to let you know, we're really sorry to see the boys leave the cast, blah, blah, blah. And season 15 is going to be the Gabriel and Castiel show. And, you know, we're going to lead you all off on an adventure and of trickery and mayhem and blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, I assumed everyone was going to know it was a really obvious joke. But you've got these crazies in the Supernatural fandom that just hate anything that he says. And they took it and they ran with it. And they just started, you know, going crazy on Twitter, and it was so funny to watch that it was both my favorite and my least favorite. But the one that got me really good was somebody uploaded, I don't know what Twitter account it was, but they posted a big screenshot that said, you know, Tom Holland of Avengers accidentally uploads scripts to social media for Avengers Endgame. And then Tom Holland was like, oh my God, he's like, I had a momentary panic because I actually thought that I did this in my sleep. And I had to go check. So someone got Tom Holland really good, and that made me laugh really hard.
Because it's believable.
I feel like Tom Holland is the only actor in the Marvel Universe where they probably make him like film at least 5 different types of scenes just so he doesn't accidentally leak the real one.
Yeah, exactly. I think Mark Ruffalo is the same, isn't he? He's dropped some leaks, yeah.
Wait.
The Ruffalo?
Ruffalo. Yeah, Ruffalo.
You're thinking about Peter Pan?
Yeah. Ruffalo.
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. You're welcome, by the way. You're welcome.
Just think happy thoughts. Did you have a favorite April Fool's moment this week, Masonic?
You know what? The Game of Thrones one got me initially, and it was only because, as you guys are well aware, I'm a little behind everyone else, and I've gotten binged up to like season 4.3, I think, or 4.4. I'm like trying to get through this so I could try to catch up by next week. So that was good. But then I knew that once someone picked it, I was like, all right, I'm going to scour and find something. And I totally found something just off to the side. I posted in the chat room earlier. It was a April Fool's prank on a dog, on a husky. Put 2 big bowls of food in there, and one was just regular dog food, and the other one had, like, huge chicken legs or whatever in there. And they were like, all right, pick which one you want. The dog picked the one with the chicken legs and everything on it, and they're like, all right, cool, push it forward. And it took the cover off. That was a fake picture of it, and there was just dog food, and the dog was like looking at it, and there's one like this, just eyeballed them. That was awesome. That made me laugh. That was it.
That was excellent.
That's only Masonic, yeah. Vader that talks about cruelty to animals. None of us believe in that at all.
Wow.
No. There was another one, cruelty to husbands.
Oh yeah.
Wife saved every single Amazon Prime package that she got for the entire past year and put them all together empty and stacked them outside of her house so that when her husband came home, he had a heart attack. Thought she had ordered the entire website.
Yeah. It
was pretty beautiful.
Which, that's if she funny. Had, I wish that she would have actually gone to our website, demalis-corp.com, because this is a plug, but there
is... Plug.
Yeah, shameless plug, but if you head over there and if you're going to be purchasing something from Amazon, there's links to Amazon. So if you go through our website first, anything you purchase, you still get it, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. But once again, you help support these nerds and geeks with website costs so that we can keep running this stuff. So thank you for that. Lastly, is that everybody? I think that's everybody.
I think so.
For their favorite. I have to talk about one April Fool's joke that I thought failed horrendously. If you guys have one, let us know. But I really, really annoyed, because I'm annoyed with this man as it is. Tom Brady's April Fool's joke was just sad and pathetic. It was him going on Twitter, and for his very first tweet, it was, I'm retiring from football, and in my spare time, I will be tweeting. And it's just... that's not how you're going to announce something. It didn't pull the wool over anybody's eyes. It was sad.
Dumbass. Dumbass.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, sorry, he could have maybe pulled it off if he didn't put, in my spare time, I will be tweeting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
If he just put it, I'll be retiring from football, people probably would have taken it a little bit more seriously. They would have been like, oh,
yeah,
Tom Brady's
retiring. Yeah, and then, like, maybe
even if he would have came out with, And after my big man's not going to be there, Gronk, I can't continue going. I'm going to have to retire. You know,
something to sell it a little bit. I might have bought that
a little
one.
Bit.
Yeah, I would have been yep. like, you know what? Yeah, I could see that the dynamic duo going out together, riding off to the sunset. Hopefully,
he's going to be 42. He needs to retire. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what makes a great April Fool's joke is you sell it a little bit first, and then you come in, not get the punchline right at the beginning to let everybody know. You know, so
but, you know that's Tom Brady for you.
Yeah, yeah, but now he's on Twitter, so if I'm sure he's got thousands of followers already. So. Awesome
just
job.
What I wanted on my Twitter feed.
Hey, we already got involved in a conversation involving him because he's on Twitter, so it all works. So
yeah.
So let us know what your favorite April Fool's joke of 2019 was. The first topic that we're going to talk about is science, an actual real topic that we have no right talking about because we are not scientists and we,
not even close.
But
technically one of my degrees is an associate of science.
Well, technically I have a bachelor's of science, but nice. You're definitely not going to see me debating with Neil deGrasse Tyson anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be sad.
Unless it's about where to get the best burgers. I can do that.
Exactly.
It's the fat kid in all of us coming out going, come, this is where you go. Okay. The real science subject that we're here to talk about. We got the first actual visual look at a black hole, a real black hole. It's not just an interpretation that has been put together. Scientists actually got their first full look.
It felt really weird to me. It feels like we've all seen a black hole before, you know?
I never realized that we hadn't. Like, everyone's geeking out on Facebook over this, and my brain is just going, what's so special? Like
they need to up their resolution a little.
Yeah. To me, it looks like everyone is saying that Supernatural, it's the Eye of Jack. They've taken it. It looks exactly like the intro to season 14.
I was going to say a very, very fuzzy Eye of Sauron.
Yeah, Yeah. Did not realize that this was the first time we'd actually seen a black hole. So.
Yeah, we've seen, like I said, interpretations of them many a times. in fact, talk about some of the stuff that it took to, because okay. I'm looking up some stuff here for
yeah. So it took forever, apparently, to put this picture together. They originally took the pictures over a series of like 5 days back in 2017, and it's 54 light years away. They had to use a series of telescopes around the world relaying off so they could continue to watch it over that time. And it had to be like perfect weather the whole time. It couldn't be too humid or they'd have a more blurry image. And then there was so much data. The one image that we got put together after all that time is about 5 petabytes of data. There was so much that it would have taken them they said it was the equivalent of 35,000 years worth of MP3 data. So in order to transfer that data, because they couldn't do it online, they had to put it on hard drives and fly it around. 1,000 pounds of hard drives is the quickest way to move that data.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
And let me switch over.
Apparently,
on
according
this.
To Red Meepaw, the flat earthers said it was all just CGI. It's all fake.
If it was CGI, it'd be a better picture.
Exactly.
Yeah, that should be. Hopefully, you guys see it. There's your picture. My camera didn't just go out of focus. That's the actual.
Yeah.
But that's what they mean by the first actual.
In the blurry shot that Facebook was free.
Well, that was their whole thing
really
about.
Does look like the honest song.
Yeah, it does look like ISO.
For something that's 54 light years away, good picture.
Yeah, and that was what they meant by the first visual of the black hole was they actually saw the blackness, the void of that was, you know, being sucked out. So, yeah,
you can see the event horizon. That's pretty rad.
That was the big thing. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about it a little bit before the cast, and you were saying your favorite stat about the whole thing was. Its equivalent size, Like, that would be the size of that thing with those telescopes is like trying to find a donut on the moon with the naked eye.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, just
totally work.
I mean, and the factor that all these 8 telescopes have to be in perfect weather to get it. So they, you know, it's not just an easy, like, they have to check humidity levels because otherwise they get a bad shot.
I've got a question. Are we not using Hubble anymore?
I thought we were, but maybe I'm wrong.
You would think that would be, I don't know if it's in low Earth orbit, if it's geosynchronous and they couldn't use it for that reason, but it seems like something that's, you know, outside of the atmosphere would get a way better picture, way easier.
Yeah, Polyfew says the pale blue dot picture taken from Voyager 1 is more impressive.
Well, I did see a bigger field. Like, that's that picture of the black hole, that is one tiny portion of the overall image that they put together. Yeah. It's, you know, it looks like one of those pictures you see of really intricate nebulas and stuff like that. It's just that in that portion of that picture, we got a black hole.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's really cool that their plan for this going forward is to actually get like a scrapbook of black holes, because that's actually what they said.
They're getting a good scrapbooking. This is my Etsy black hole shop.
Yeah, so what they said is this image is just the beginning. They want to pivot their telescopes so toward other black holes to amass a whole scrapbook of black hole images. Sorry,
now I'm picturing Ross on one end of the telescope just yelling, "Pivot!"
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So they want to pivot the telescope to other black holes to amass a whole scrapbook of black hole images, and they also plan to take more better quality pictures. Good on ya. That's a great idea. Let's get better quality pictures on.
And Turbo Comics says that the Hubble is not really being maintained or really used all that much.
Oh, okay.
That got put up, what, mid-80s? It's probably pretty well-worn at this point. I saw a sad meme about it. I don't want to bring it down, but if Stephen Hawking had lived one more year, he would have seen it.
Oh, that is sad. That's...
Right?
Oh, that is sad. I didn't think about that. Man.
The last...
But, you know, vindication.
He'll see it from, you know... It's afterlife, I guess.
I guess that's better. I guess that's better than saying if he would have lived one more year, he would have seen the end of Big Bang Theory.
Jeez, poor guy. At least he knew
equal, what was coming. Equally large accomplishment getting that thing off TV.
that show, Modern Family. I mean, these little sitcoms, man. Did anyone expect it to run that long? What is Big Bang Theory in?
It's 12, on season. 12 it's on season 12. Modern Family's on 10.
Yeah, and Modern Family gets one more. They're ending after next year, too. So these little sitcoms, I mean, they're just, I don't know. They just keep ticking, you know?
Polyfuse in the chat says, does NASA pay for their weed while they're looking for these black holes?
According to, who's the astronaut that sang Major Tom in space? There's also a picture of him floating there with a large bag of weed.
It's medicinal. It gets covered by their health insurance.
It's called experimentation. Black, actual peer-reviewed experimentation.
The black hole itself has a name. And, you know, Game of Thrones.
I didn't catch that. What's the name?
It's got a name Poway. Now. Yeah, Poway is the name. A black hole has a name.
Yeah, not the area in San Diego.
No, not that. It's spelled Powehi. It's the Hawaiian phrase referring to an embellished dark source of unending creation. So,
fairly accurate.
It's fairly accurate, but I wouldn't say a black hole's unending creation.
We don't know what's on the other side of that breach. Man.
We don't.
In some movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it could just be a traveling to another dimension.
Yeah, it's Sam Neill. It's
dimension. Maybe it's a dimension where they juggle shrimp for a living. Maybe it's a dimension where everyone's a hamster and the humans are kept in cages. We don't know.
Maybe it's Reglantis.
Polyfuse to follow up with his comment about if NASA was on the weed while looking at black holes. His response was, "You ever looked at a black hole?" You ever looked at a black hole on weed?
Weed.
And nice. Then Red says the gateway, if we try to cross through it, will spaghettify us. So there's your new word for the day that you learned here, spaghettify.
Hashtag spaghettify.
Hashtag spaghettify.
Black hole spaghettify. That's a hashtag of a week.
Hashtag now I really want some spaghetti.
Okay.
I just think you get to meet, what's his name? The guy from Jurassic Park on the other side. And, you know, there's dead bodies and stuff everywhere, but.
Which Jurassic Park? The good one or the
Sam,
bad one?
Sam Neill.
Oh, Sam Neill. Because of the other movie? Because of the...
Yeah. Event Horizon.
Yes.
God, that movie was terrifying.
I mean, that does tie in on the factor that, that's the name of the telescopes.
That's true.
It's the Event Horizon telescope for the eight of them. So
yeah, that's the first movie I ever watched.
You know what? I wonder.
It was terrifying.
I wonder if they thought of that name because they're like, well, with eight telescopes, if we're able to find a black hole, maybe we can find the gateway to hell. Hey, what was that movie? What was
well,
that movie
where they went to the gateway of hell? Yeah, that would be the Ninth Ring Project.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Event Horizon was the ship went to hell and then showed back up.
Yeah.
And, so. Yeah.
That movie was terrifying. I'm not going to lie.
Seriously, it's a scary-ass movie.
Good, though. Very good.
Yeah, I do love that movie. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the All Things Nerd podcast, Best of Season 3, whatever episode this may be. If you guys enjoyed what you heard, you can check out more content on YouTube at the Malice Corp channel or at malice-corp.com. That's malice-corp.com. And we'll be back on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, January 3rd. We hope to see you all there. If you liked what you heard, please, please subscribe, drop a review. We appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we will see you soon.